Back when you were a child, it hurt when you did wrong and Dad spanked you as punishment, but at least you knew you had a dad. When God disciplines a sinning child, it hurts as well. But we can be certain of being the sons and daughters of God when we feel His heavy hand. What God does when believers willfully sin is our focus today, so stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is Highlights from Hebrews, and we're turning once again to Hebrews chapter 10. In this, his fifth message, Dr. Lutzer is speaking on taking sin seriously, focusing on the lessons we can learn from a difficult passage of Scripture.
What I'd like to do in the next few moments is to summarize some of the lessons that will help us put all of this into some kind of perspective and maybe help us even give some kind of an answer to the questions that we raised earlier. Number one, remember, my friends, today that there is a great difference between God's knowledge and our knowledge. Big difference between God's knowledge and our knowledge. We don't know whether or not some people were truly born again. We don't know. We can't see the heart. We can see the fruit. We can see indications, but we might make mistakes. Now, the Bible says clearly that God knoweth those that are His. And you remember the parable in which Jesus spoke? He said that there was someone who sowed tares among the wheat, and Jesus said, sometimes you have to let the two grow together because it's tough to tell the difference. There are apparently tares that look just like wheat, especially in its early stages, and you and I can't tell the difference. Remember that story of some folks who sold a whole neighborhood evergreens, said, we want you to plant evergreens, and the whole neighborhood bought into it so that there would be uniformity in their boulevards and along the street, and the men then came and planted the evergreens, and none of them grew. They watered them, and they all died. Somebody pulled one out and discovered that there were no roots. The men, evil as they were, simply took and put the branches of evergreens in the places and then said that they had planted trees. Jesus said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Now, there are some things we know and there are some things we don't know. I don't know whether or not Chuck Templeton ever savingly believed on Christ. I really don't know that. But here's something that I do know. If he did, he is under God's heavy hand, His rod of judgment, because God scourges every son whom He receives. And when the Scripture says very clearly, I'll read it right here in the 12th chapter. It says, if you do not receive discipline, you are an illegitimate child and you are not a son. 12th chapter, verse 5 and following. Now, His discipline may be in ways that you and I may not understand. It may be internal. We don't know all that God has done in His life. But this much I know, that we don't know the heart, but we do know that God disciplines those who walk away from Him. That's the first thing that we have to know. Secondly, here's a warning. Don't ever confuse the blessing of God with the leniency of God. The leniency of God. I've known people who admit that they're not in fellowship with God, though they claim to have been born again of the Spirit at some time in their history. And they have health and strength, and they have a job, and they live in nice homes, and they drive a good car, and they say to themselves, it's really no big deal, because look at how God is blessing me. Oh, don't ever fall into that trap. Don't ever fall into that trap. Moses thought it was no big deal that he happened to smite the rock when he was supposed to speak to it, and the proof was that water flowed. No big deal. God says, Moses, guess what? It's a big deal. The water flowed. The crowd was happy with you. They clapped because you gave them what they needed. But you, Moses, are not going to enter into the land. Don't ever confuse that. The Bible says that the goodness of God should lead us to repentance. The goodness of God should never lead us to leniency and to say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I can just live however I like. You beware speaking that way, because if you are a Christian, you will fall under the hands of God's judgment and His discipline. And if you don't, you're deceiving yourself and you have never been born of the Spirit. He scourges every son whom he receives. Last lesson. Let's not confuse time and eternity, okay? God sometimes takes a while to work out his purpose. You remember the story I told you about the young guy in Canada that we hoped would be the next Billy Graham, who knew how to sing, and because of his anger toward God, because of his bad marriage, spent 20 years in nightclubs. I'm told that he's back in church, that he's been restored to his family, that he's left that lifestyle. He's beginning to fellowship with the people of God. He's beginning to be used again. You see, God sometimes lets his sheep wander for a long time until they graze in every pasture and until they come to pastures that are barren oftentimes, until they realize, you know, this is stupid. This is stupid. What I need to do is to humble myself and go back to the foot of the cross where my life began, and there I have to kneel and accept his cleansing and his forgiveness and his restoration, and I have to get rid of all those things in my life that displease him, and I need to be restored to the family, and I need to ask forgiveness for all the people that I have hurt in the process, and I need to come back home where I belong. And that's what God does to his people. He's in the restoration business. You'll notice that the title of this message is Taking Sin Seriously. It is serious. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I'll tell you something. It's one thing to fall into the hands of the living God as a believer, knowing that in this life you fall under his hand, but your spirit will be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. That's one thing. But now for a moment, I want to talk to those of you who have never received Christ as your Savior. You have never come under His protection from God's wrath. I want you to know today that you must humble yourself and receive the gift, because Jesus died on the cross and His death was a sacrifice for sinners, and He will receive you. If the truth were known, if your history were written up for everybody to read and for everybody to see, there are some of you here who probably have done some pretty despicable things. I want you to know that that is not a surprise to God. There's nobody that I'm speaking to who is beyond the ability of God to save. Great sinner, criminal. Some of you have been perhaps spent time for crimes that you've committed. God is able to save you. But what you must do is to simply say, I need him. I get rid of that hard heart. I believe on Christ. I believe on Christ. Remember that old story that could be true, but whether it's true or not, the point is still made. About the father and his daughter who were in that great prairie fire. I used to always say it happened in Canada, and then I heard some other preachers say it happened in Kansas. So who knows where it happened. But as the fire got close to them, they realized that they could be burned even when it was in the distance. But what they decided to do is to light a fire where they were and to burn a huge patch, so that when the fire would come, the big blaze would come, they were safe, actually, because the fire came right up to where the patch, the acreage, had been burned. And then it stopped. In fact, out on the farm, we used to do this. Whenever we lit a fire, we used to, first of all, light a furrow and to burn part of it away so that in case the fire got out of control, it would come to that firewall and it would stop. Why? Because that's the place that the fire has already been. I know that it's not popular to teach this in today's world where we have such a kind God. In the minds of many people, thinking that the God of the New Testament is different from the Old, this is proof that that's not the case, by the way. But I want you to know today that the fire of God's judgment will fall. But here's the good news. I'm into restoration. I'm into reconciliation. I'm into the good news of the gospel. And that is that for those who believe in Christ, they will be trusting someone upon whom the fire has already fallen. And they will be exempt, welcomed into heaven, saved forever, because their faith has been in Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Have you believed in Christ like that? That with assurance, full assurance of faith, as the book of Hebrews says, you can face tomorrow because you know you belong to Him. Number two, those of you who know Christ, but you've wandered far from Him, hurry back home. Hurry back home. This message is to you. Jesus calls you back to fellowship. You may belong to Him and belong to Him forever, but there's all kinds of things that you are doing that displease Him. The text says that you are insulting the blood that bought you. Come back home. Come back home. Yes, my friend, come back home. This is Pastor Lutzer. The book of Hebrews certainly is fraught with a lot of invitations and a lot of warnings. And today in the message, you've heard both. You've heard the invitation to come back home, but you've also heard the warning of what it is like when we insult the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I try to think about what it might be like, and what it will be like, rather, when we stand in God's presence and when we see our lives, when we see our hardness of heart and our unwillingness to repent of those issues that God has brought to our attention. Now, here's the bottom line. The Bible says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I may be speaking to you today and there is some darkness in your life. You know exactly what it is that God is putting His finger on. Would you expose it to the light? Would you come to God today and say, thank you that the Holy Spirit has revealed to me what I must confess? And it begins, of course, by confessing the hardness of heart that makes us love sin despite its terrible consequences, and despite the fact that it is an insult to God. And by the way, if you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, if you've never responded to God's love as seen in Jesus, would you pray right now? And would you say, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. My life is filled with darkness. Would you come to forgive and to restore and to make me one of your children so that I can go on living for your glory?
With those thoughts, Dr. Erwin Lutzer has concluded Taking Sin Seriously, another message in his series, Highlights from Hebrews. Many times we face trials and find ourselves praying for God's intervention. In tomorrow's final message, we'll learn what happens when God doesn't come through. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We believe our series from Hebrews will help you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.